say about the scripture, I listen to where we were reading earlier on, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 of chapter 7. Verse 1, chapter 7 says, on account of all we've been listening to since morning up to this point, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Hallelujah.
Before now, I had underlined somewhere a portion of that scripture. So, all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Therefore, having these promises of where God wants to take us, of the ultimate purpose, of the original ultimate purpose of God. Because he says that someone of the nation will do what? And it is the Father's good pleasure to do what? Therefore, having these promises, the love of God is still with us. In fact, like we are, there is no shadow of God. We never change his mind about it. That's why when we are getting it right, even when we are failing, he still addresses us as his beloved. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Father, we thank you for counting us worthy to be partakers of this grace and this apostleship unto grace and unto the redemption of the soul. Father, we confess that we are a people who have a hardened heart. We are a people that have a lot of fat around our heart. Our ears are waxed. Our eyes are distracted. Lord, our attitude is that of merrymaking and joy and praise and shouting. Even as was the situation in the rebellion of Aaron. Lord, we come to you with the idols in our hearts. We come with the besetting sin, with the weights and luggages. We come to you as a people who love the world. And you say those who love the world are hostile to you. We come to you as a generation that is falling away from grace, that's turned And we are now in the state of apostasy. We come to you as a people whose eyes are waxed. And we ask, O God, today that you might move on our behalf. Lord, you might move despite our lack of enthusiasm. You said the sin of Sodom was idleness, fullness of bread. Lord, we have all of this and in abundance. Therefore, we ask, O God, that your word, you will anoint your word, you may anoint your word to be strong in the heart of the king's enemy. We are that people, O God, who need to be overcome. We ask that your word will be strong to overcome us. Let it overcome our carnality. Let it overcome our religion. Let it overcome our doctrines and our set ways. You say that Ephraim is a cake not turned. You say that Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has not been empty from vessel to vessel. Therefore, his taste remains in him. Lord, we pray that your word will be such that will begin to tilt us, that will begin to shake things up, that there will be a jerking of the eyes, that our heart will melt, O God. Lord, that there might be a visitation in the depths of our being. Let the hydraulic power of your word break through the rock, break through every barrier. Blessed be your name, Lord. We glorify you for this time, for the feast that you make before us. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm happy. It's a privilege to be here. On this side, there was a time when I came to the other side. Amen. Many years ago. And we're here now. Amen. And we're here for good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we thank God for giving us this platform and this opportunity to share from the word. There are so many things on the table. I don't really know where to start. There are so many things on the table. The scripture that comes to me, because I'm going to read many of the scriptures, I won't have time to read them. I'll just give you the scripture and then move on, because we'll have a long journey. Hopefully we'll continue sometime next year by the grace of God. So right now, this one is just an introduction. Hopefully when we have more time, we can settle down into the word. Well, the scripture that comes to me, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that when Jesus comes, that is at the end of time, that the church that he will be coming to will be a church that has fallen from grace, that has turned away from God. That is, the church that will be visited by God is not a church that is hungry for God. It's not a church that wants to hear what God is saying. It's not a church that has a heart for God. It's going to be a church that has turned away from God. Amen. And he was describing the end time, the end of time. And we don't have time to get into the scripture. I hope we will have some time so that, you know, we can show from scripture. You can see the fact that Where we are now, Brother Boss was saying, talking about the darkness, you know, looking at the situations. And I'm telling you that what you see now is just a joke. You know, in every dimension of it, it's going to be darker. There's going to be a more turning away. Things are going to be colder. There will be fewer people in church. Amen. The reason is that the church Jesus Christ will come to will be a church that has fallen away from the truth. Amen. So that these things will not happen unless there is what? There is first a turning away. Amen. What is the turning away from? A turning away from the truth. Amen.
Amen.
So when you see that, that means you have to be careful what you call church. What you and I call church. You know, because everyone in this room, by the time you became a Christian, you entered a system that was already turned away from God. I don't know if you understand. That is, when you were born again and you became a Christian, the people that evangelized you were already in their ways and systems turned away from God already. So even as you grow up, all the things you know are false, are a caricature of the reality. That's God. Amen. So, and this is even more serious because the thing called end time has completely formed the denomination. We now have a denomination called the End Time Church of God. They are scattered many, many places. Some of them are in Owerri, in Port Harcourt, Lagos. Some of them in the villages, everywhere. There is now an End Time Church of God with all the things that make up a denomination. You know, I was driving in Omaha the right day. I saw a group. I won't mention the name. You know, when I got born again, they were on fire for God. And I saw somewhere they put a big signboard. I shouted. I couldn't believe it. Well, that is what will normally happen. And that's what has happened to every move of God. And our own has not been different. Amen. It has not been different. So we have to go beyond the situation, you know, that we see to examine the reality. You know, so the end of time, there are certain things that will characterize the end time. You see that when the end, during, you know, at the end of time, that the love of many will do what? And it's going to go colder. It's going to go colder. For many of us in Nigeria, the economy is getting better, so we have more money. We have less pressure in our hearts to seek God. Because your bank account, you can always deal with whatever you want with your bank account. So what you have is that there'll be more worldliness coming into the church. There'll be more materialism in the church. And the greatest report of that will be on our children. Our children will be living a false life. You know, they don't know the reality of what it means to seek God and wait upon God to meet your need. And you know, so you can go on now, but that's not really where I'm going to. But I'm trying to show that we are living at the end of time. The scripture that I really want to talk about is Matthew 25, about the virgins. Because what we want to do is not so much to dwell on the negative, because we need to see the positive that God is doing. There is something that God is doing now, and it's good for you to see it, because there's a remnant that's turning to God. And so we want to look at the things that God is doing. God is not interested in the thing called church. Forget it. This is what we are doing. It's good. The purpose of this is to give us a platform to come to a place where we can come together and study the word, hear what God is doing, and do all this. You know, that's just, but this in itself is not what God is doing. This is a platform to enable us to get into the reality.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. So, there's nothing called Nigeria in heaven or fellowship. All those things. There's only one issue, and the thing is the bride. God has a permanent interest. And what is the permanent interest? The bride. There is a bride that must be found for the bridegroom. Amen. The bridegroom needs a bride. So, even if you go and put the sign, this is the bridegroom of Christ Church. Sorry, what's his name now? The bride of Christ Church of Owerri. Or New Egbu Road. What's this other road? Yeah. You can do all those things, no problem. God, he will argue with you. The thing is that the foundation of God, what? And then sure. You know? So, he knows those. So, his interest is constant. He's not going to shift it for you. You can deliver it for yourself. There's no problem. We'll talk to you. You know? So, God has a standard. And every one of us must come up to that standard. You know? So, there is an interest. And the interest is about the bride. There must be found for the bridegroom a bride. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says this bride must be, because he says a wise virgin. And he tells us the characteristics of this virgin. Amen. So that is what we want to look at. You know, he said that there were 10 virgins. I told you I don't have time to read the scriptures, but Matthew 25 tells us about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Alright? 5 is symbolic number for ministry. 5 stands for grace. Amen. The number 10 stands for God's divine order. So in the program of God, in the economy of God, there is such a thing as a wise bride, okay, the wise virgins, and then the foolish virgins. Now he says the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, they had something in common. What they had in common was what? Was in the he says they had what? Oil in their lamp. Amen. But there was a difference. The difference was that the wise virgins, in addition to having oil in their lamp, they also had oil in their vessel. So we're going to look at those two. We're going to dig a little bit deep into those two aspects. So the question is, what is lamp? Then what is vessel? How do you get oil in the lamp? Excuse me, and then how do you also get oil in the vessel? Alright? But apart from that, the Bible says that they all slumbered and slept. And I want to tell you, that's where the church is now. You know, there are two faces to the church. There are two faces to what is happening now. What is happening now is that we are in the sleeping phase of midnight. You know, many are sleeping. In the church, many are sleeping. But it says at midnight, what happened? There was something that characterizes, it said that a trumpet began to sound. What was it saying? Awake for the bridegroom coming. And then he said that the virgins, they woke up and to trim their lamp. And then somebody found out he did not have the capacity to respond to the midnight. Because trimming means, you know, to be able to overcome the darkness, so that their lamp burns. So some people had an oil crisis. They could not address, they could not, And because they had an oil crisis, they had a shortage. They found out that they had a shortage. Now, this shortage is in the vessel, not in the spirit. You know, you read the scripture, because the spirit of God is one. That's exactly where I was going to. It talks about the filthiness of where? Of the flesh, and then the filthiness of what? Spirit. Amen. Okay, so they found out that there was a crisis in the vessel, in the character. Amen. And because of this crisis and shortage, they found out that they could not go through. You know, they could not go through. And because they could not go through, they had to go to buy oil. And while they were buying oil, what happened? The bridegroom came and the door was shut. Amen. Now, the question is, who is a virgin? We have to first of all identify who is a virgin. A virgin is someone who is pure, not defiled. So if a woman says a virgin, that means he has not known man. If a man is going to be a virgin, he has not known a woman, is it not so? So it means someone who is betrothed to be committed to someone else, to be joined to someone else, that no other person has joined up, is it not so? So that is in the dimension of man. Alright? Good. So let's come up now. Because see, the word of God is at three levels. It's at three dimensions. Even if you refuse to see the third dimension, it is still at three dimensions. So it doesn't matter how you interpret it. If you say, well, you just want to look at the natural, fine, stay at your natural level. But no, be it known to you that there is a third dimension. And if you don't apply it, your brother will apply it. Because say two will be on the field. One will apply. The other one is not applying. The one that is not applying is carried to destruction. The other one will go free. Amen. So what you do is really of no importance. What is important is the judge. The judge has a standard that he is applying. Amen. So there is a spiritual dimension of that one. And in other words, who is a bride in the spirit? Because you say God is a spirit, is it not? And they that worship him must do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. So the bride of Christ, who is he? Or who is she? Well, what would be the characteristic of that bride? Okay, all in the lab. What does that mean practically? You know, this word is not a high grammar word. It is a bedroom kitchen matter. Amen. What you are doing when you are driving the bus, when somebody annoys you, that's when the word starts working. Amen. You say, now are we the source of God. Not tomorrow, now. In your circumstances. So what is he saying? A bride means a soul that has not been what? That has not been ruled or defined by other spirits. So this is spirit matter. You're not with me. Do you agree with that definition? Before we go, we have a long journey to go. We must all agree together. In the natural, the virgin must not know man. Is it not so? In the spirit now, what would the virgin not know? The virgin will not know another spirit. You say Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Yeah, let him get away from me. Don't you understand? You say Israel is my bride. You see, so she has played the harlot, going to after other countries, or that. That's what Jeremiah is saying, Isaiah is saying, Ezekiel, that's what they all prophesy. So, when you speak of a bride or a virgin, it is in reference to God. Because God is a spirit. And the church is a bride of a higher spirit. And that spirit is what? Christ. Amen. Christ is the bridegroom, seeking for a bride. Christ is a bridegroom seeking for a body to express himself. You know, we have set certain standards for ourselves. And one standard is that Jesus Christ is different from us. The Roman man finished the matter. Did you hear the Roman man? He said, I find no fault in this God. Is it what he said? Is it what the man said? What did the man say? I find no fault in this. In this man. He's a man like you. The man cried Jesus. It's everywhere. We are staying here. We say he is God. Let him be God. Let him, he has overcome. Babu. According to that man. He said Babu. It's not true. It's not how you people say it. That's not true. You are dealing with a man. The spirit of Christ is different from Jesus Christ. Okay, they say, hey. We say this is my preacher's first doctrine. Anytime he comes, he starts again. The spirit of Christ is different from Jesus Christ. There are two different situations. The spirit of Christ is the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. You know what he says? Say, if the same spirit that was what? Be in you. My excuse is taken away. Our excuse is gone. A fly through that window is gone, 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 gone. We can play church, do all that we want. The standard of God, the foundation of God, standard sure. There is one man that God will use to judge every other man. His name is what? Jesus. The Christ. It's a man. And the Roman man says, this one I'm seeing here is a man. I've looked at him. I found no fault in him. He said he was tempted in all points, yet. How did he overcome? Because there was a spirit in him. And that same spirit in him is the same spirit that you have received, that you are making money with. Don't you understand? So, the jury is out. And it's clear that we are playing games. And he said, and God doesn't even mind, he doesn't mind the games we are playing. But he said, you know for sure that the standard of God is standard sure. Let every man that do what? That name the name of Christ, do what? Wake up, wake up, wake up. Say, awake, awake, O Zion. Shake yourself from the dust. That's the right. And when you rise, we realize that there is a standard. And the standard of God is speaking about a bride. And the Bible says that the bride has made herself ready. The bride has what? Made herself ready. The responsibility is my own. It's my own. What you do is of completely no effect on me. Whether I get it or I don't get it. The other person annoyed me, he didn't annoy me. He greeted me, he didn't greet me. He cooked for me, he didn't cook for me. He bought shoes, gave everybody. Only me in the fellowship, he didn't give. That brother hates me. You're wasting time. All those things are completely irrelevant with God. Whether they greeted you or they didn't greet you, whether they recognize you or they recognize you, whether all those things are completely irrelevant. The thing is, the bride must make herself ready. The responsibility is upon you and upon me. Of course, there are people who are saying, no. There's a trumpet that they will blow in Jerusalem. And immediately the trumpet is blown, I'll be ready. When they blow the trumpet in Abaco here, from where you are, you'll not even hear it. How much more in Jerusalem that you will hear? In other words, the trumpet is what you are hearing. It's a message. It's a message. Not just that, the seventh trumpet that is calling the bride home. The seventh trumpet is the last trumpet that is saying the bridegroom is coming. So he's saying the bride must make herself ready. ready. You know, you see, we are building walls. We have built walls, so many walls. And God is not interested in all those walls. He wants a bride. So there's a definition that the bride is speaking about the soul. He's speaking about the church. And the church is not fellowship. Don't you understand? The church is defined. Say, I will build my church. And the gates. Well, we'll talk about those gates. You understand? Because if the gates of hell are prevailing, then you're not part of the church. Don't you understand, sir? I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not. So it is what you do with the gate that selects you whether you are part of the church or not. You are a church goer, a church attender. Don't you understand? So it's not name, it's not physical presence. It is what happens at the gate that determines whether you are in or out. There is no way a man can come to me and say he's part of my body when he's not under my head. Don't you understand? There's no way you can say you're part of my body when you're not. When I eat food, you don't get the food. You're not there. So it is food that matters. It's the kind of food you eat that determines whether you are in the body or not. If you are in my body, then my mouth will feed you. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. If you are in my body and you are feeding yourself, are you there? You're not. So he says seven women will take hold of one man. What did they say? We will marry you. We will answer your name. We are our own apparel. Only let us be called. They eat their own bread. They wear their own covering. They only want that identification. So you come to today, end time. Let's forget about all this. We're talking about end time. And we are not being nourished by Christ. If God created the soul, He has created a way to nourish the soul. Don't you understand? When you eat food, it's your emotions that are eating the food. If you eat the food and it's not tasty, forget it. That food is gone. Finish. The reason why you go back to it is because there is something you have sown. So it is the soul that is engaged in all those things. So it is the soul that directs the activity you are engaged in. And that is what this scripture is saying. That the bride must have oil in the vessel. Now, let's go one step forward. What is a vessel? Alright? What is the lamp? You find the answer also in the Bible. Amen. And if you look at what scripture is that, you know, Proverbs 27:20. Proverbs 27:20. Is it not? Or is it 20:27? I always mix up the two. He said that the spirit of man is what? Is a lamp of the Lord. Candle was put by rascals. Some rascals went and put the word candle. So forget about 20:27, is it not? Forget about candle. Candle is a modern day thing. It wasn't there at that time. So candle doesn't take away the meaning of oil lamp. Lamp tells you there has to be oil. Alright? So the right translation is what? Lampas is a lamp. So it means there's oil. Good. So it says that the spirit of man is what? The lamp of the Lord. Searching the inward parts of what? What is the belly? What is the belly? The belly is the soul. Alright? To the Jews, the belly was talked about the soul. And it had different compartments, different dimensions. So there are different dimensions of the soul. Okay, so everybody is seeing this, is it not? So this is the soul. And then on top of it is the spirit. And then down below is the body. So these are the three realms we are looking at. Soul, body, and then spirit. And this is what is referred to as man. Alright? Now it says that the spirit of man is what? The lamp of the Lord giving light to the different dimensions of the soul. Now, this spirit is not alone. See, it is a candle of the Lord. So, there's another spirit here. And what's that spirit? It's the spirit of God. So, the spirit of God. Alright? And the spirit of God does not exist alone. Isn't it not so? The Bible says that there are three that bear witness in heaven. The spirit, the Father, and the Word. Okay? So this is the spirit of God. So we can say here is the Son, and then here is what? The Father. So there are three. Alright? So the life of God is coming from the Father to the Son to the Spirit to the Spirit of man, and then from there to the body, to the soul, and then to the body. So this is the river of God. This is the way the river of God comes. And this is how the life of God comes into the soul. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says that this soul is a virgin. This soul is a virgin. This is a virgin. Of course, some are wise and some are foolish. Alright? So this is the basic activity in the church, that the soul must be prepared. Some will be wise, accepted. Others will not be and will be rejected. Alright? Now the Bible says that at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Alright. Now, let's go into the soul. Now, the soul of man has different characteristics, different natures, different functionings. And when we say the soul of man is abstract, we're talking about you. Alright, now, what does the Bible say about the soul? It says, the Ezekiel 3 says, the soul that sinneth. So, out of these three, who is the one that sins? The spirit, the soul, or the body? Who told you that the soul sins? Doesn't your spirit sin? The Bible says that when a man dies, what happens to him? The spirit goes back to... So in other words, the spirit is a gift from God to enable the soul to respond to God. The spirit is a gift from God to enable the soul hear the voice of God and to respond to God. If you have a spirit, and of course you do have a spirit, and that's why you are different from the animals. The ordinary animal does not have spirit. He's just soul, is it not? Don't you understand? But you see, if your spirit is not functional, you're not listening to your spirit, you're not using it, what happens? You have reduced yourself to what? To a beast. Amen. So, God is dead. And that kind of soul can never marry the bridegroom because it's a beast. When Adam was going to marry, what happened? He came to the garden. What happened to Adam? Adam began to look among the beasts, said, no, this one's a beast, I can't marry them. If the first Adam did not marry a beast, is it the second Adam that will marry a beast? Don't you understand? Let me say it again. If the first Adam looked and said, this one is a lion. By the way, there's a lion here. I hope you know there's a lion in the soul. Don't you understand? There's a lion here. There are four realms here. There are four realms. The emotion, the desire, This is the will, and then this is the mind. There are four realms. This one, the emotion is like what? It's like a lion. The desire has the nature of a man. The will is like the nature of the ox or the calf. And then the mind is like what?
An eagle.
Okay. Hopefully we can cover all these ones today. Now, so this is just basic, you know, about the different dimension, different natures. And we're looking at the scripture. We're saying the first Adam, when they brought him to the lion, he said, "This is lion, I'm not going to marry." Now, is it the second Adam? Will is like the ox. So is it the second Adam that will not marry a beast? It will never happen. The Bible says that the high priest, this is Leviticus 21, Leviticus 22, says the high priest must not marry a widow. The high priest must not marry a widow. Now, a widow, the husband is dead. The husband is dead. That means it is a soul that is permanently detached from heaven. It is carnal. It's like a chicken. Let all the wind, let all the move of God come to where the highest is to just lift from the ground. The gravity, the power of gravity upon the soul is too strong, it will pull it down. And that is the problem of the church, that, you know, you see, there are different types of ego. There's what they call chicken ego. Chicken ego can never fly. Don't you understand? It can try to fly after some time, but it must come down. Because there is a nature in it that is bound to the earth. The Bible said that there are some people whose God is their what? Are we ruled by our desire, our appetite? It is our appetite that governs the things that we do. So no matter what happens at the end of the day, it is serpentine, it is earthbound. Alright? And it's actually the nature of the desire of man. You know, God told them, he said, "Look, you must overcome the creeping natures." He created them and said, "These natures, you must not eat them. You must overcome." You know, is it not Peter? God showed him different natures. The man began to teach God the biology 101. They thought us we shouldn't eat this. God said, "Forget it. What I have cleansed." So what was it? He was speaking about men. God, he was showing him the nature of men. And what did he show him? He showed him creeping things. He showed him wild creatures. He showed him flying birds. So the different natures of the soul was what he was showing Peter. And he said, "What I have cleansed, do not call unclean." So if you are in this room, you say you want to be married to Jesus Christ, you have to wake up. Go to the board. So which is the nature that I'm dealing with? You know, we are looking at a situation where there are spirits that have lodged themselves in the four dimensions of the soul. They are lodged there. They are lodged. And they determine the way you function, what you do, how you react to situations. As the Bible says, if you do not drive out those spirits, then you have not made yourself ready. So the task before us is very tall. It's a very big order that God has given to us. He said the bride must make herself ready. If you look at the board, you can locate yourself. I know where I am. He said a fool is one that doesn't know who he is. The Bible says what? Examine who? Your brother. Your brother. Examine your brother. Don't mind that brother. Don't mind them. I hope he's hearing this word I preach today, so that he will repent. That word is for him. Oh, yeah, I wish he was here today. Oh, why did he go to the village for wedding? He should have come here. This word is for him. This word is for him, that brother. Amen. Leave the brother. Because judgment will start where? For the house. Amen. So I like this kind of word, because as I'm preaching it, it's applying to me. Amen. There are spirits that are lodged. And each one of us will have a different character. And that different character is determined by, I'm not abusing you, but it's determined by specific natures. I don't want to use the word spirit, so let's tone it down a bit. Amen. And as soon as we overcome, we will know. Amen. So what we are discussing, are one, knowing the problem; two, knowing how we can deal with the problem. This place, we're not interested in money. If you want to make money, yeah, I can tell you where you go and make money. Osubo, you bring 1 million, you get 100 million immediately. Is it in this place, brother? Is that what you are doing here? Hey, here is not for money. It's not for money making. So if you want money, please go. Leave us alone. Amen. Here we want to prepare our soul. The bribe was made ready. Alright? And we are saying that there are these natures, there are realms within the soul. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God is the lamp of the Lord, giving light. In other words, there is light that must come in. Alright? Now, the scripture says that eye has not seen. Which eye? Ear has not seen. Which ear? But you have one ear here, now. You also have another eye here, is it not so? So what is he saying? He said, eye has not seen, or ear heard, the things that God has reserved for. Man, you shouldn't stop there. Go to the next verse. Yeah. However, praise God. Hallelujah. But like, those things are what? Being revealed. To who? To the soul. By the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So this soul is in a school. You know what the Bible says? That when the Spirit of truth is come, what will happen? That he will teach us. Isn't it also? He will instruct us. He will remind us. He will take up the things of Christ and do what? Show it unto us. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not for speaking in tongues. All these things we are doing. Amen. Someone was saying, you see, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive different dimensions. We receive the... If anyone who has received the Holy Ghost, it means the eternity of God is in you. It's too big. Human mind cannot retain it. Not just that, the omnipotence of God is in your spirit. The omnipresence of God is in your spirit. And the omniscience of God is also, in other words, so in this realm of the spirit, there is so much treasure that is within the realm of the spirit. But the thing is that this treasure must get down to the soul. And that is the battle of the church. Now, the devil has deceived us that anything that has to do with the mind, don't talk about it. Eh? But you see, you come and sit down here, you give God kakas. You sit down, bogorum, then your house cooking soup. Haven't you gone to your house since you are here? Eh? You have gone many times. Hey, that, hey, tomorrow, hey, I'm not bought bread. Why are you still here? You, where have you gone to? Oh, yeah, check now. How many people? You have traveled. Why you are here? And they say, no, leave that one. It's Christian Science. What's the other one? Amok. Is it not so? It belongs to MTN. It belongs to MTN. It belongs to Airtel. But don't talk about it. Well, good news. I'm talking about it.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you're not excited. We are talking about it.
Amen.
Because that is where Christianity starts. And that is where it begins. That is the beginning. It is the middle. It is the end. Amen. Many of us were not excited because there's a block in our minds. Our minds are not here. They are somewhere. As you're talking now, oh, yeah, that my uncle. What have they even done to that my uncle? As you're talking, you think of the wrong one. Because the mind is blinded. The Bible says that the God of this world has done what? As a block. You come to church, it's very easy to dance.
Yeah.
Jesus, now you be good. God, bata. Now you be good. Oh God, bata. Now you be good. Oh God. It doesn't require your mind. And you can dance from here to Abuja and come back. The devil is not interested. Because the mind is already sealed. Amen. Now, if your mind is sealed, how then will you receive life? Because there's no wastage in nature. If the mind is blocked, the soul cannot receive anything from God, because the Bible said that there are cherubims. Don't you understand? Brother Bot was drawing it. There is a cherubim here. Huh? There is a big man here. He has a sword. And there must be a movement. Now, if the soul cannot enter, because remember, here is the garden. Here you have the garden. Huh? You have the cherubims. In the Temple of Solomon, all over the place, there were palm trees and so on. So it's a piece of a garden. The garden is the place where you receive life. It's the place where the soul is nourished. The Bible said that God cast out Adam out of the garden. So Adam doesn't have life. So the Bible says it is called hidden manna. There is a hidden manna. It is beyond the reach of the mind. It is beyond the reach of the emotions and the desires. The man is like a prodigal. He's eating husk. Why in his father's house there is what? Feast every day. Don't you understand? In his father's house there is what? Feast every day. But he's right there in the midst of Babylon doing what? Scrawling with pigs, rolling the pigs, face of Jay-Z, Beyonce, what's the other one? All these rascals, Sasha, all those ones. Those are the pigs, and we are rolling with them. We are eating them, drinking them, doing whatever they want. Meanwhile, in our father's house, there's what? Feast every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, if you cry from here to tomorrow. To go in, the soul must put on the nature of the cherubims. It must satisfy that standard to be able to have access. And like he was saying, he said, blessed is he that overcometh, that he may have right towards the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Did not say he won't give it to you. You must overcome, then you have a right. Don't you understand? It's there. So if you want it, then you pay the price. And the price means the soul must be offered. And that's what we're talking about, the soul. The soul must be offered. What are we offering? I will tell you. Now, the mind is blocked. No life of God is coming. The soul has just, is a natural thing to do. If I can't get it from heaven, what's my problem? I get it from the earth. You use what you have to get what? What do you have? I tell you what you have. You have eyes. Huh? And that is the gate.
The gate.
A gate is an entrance.
Point of
encounter. Let me tell you what you see there. You see Lexus. Lexus. What's that one you put here? Gele. Gele is there. What is that? The blouse. That blouse one. Blouse. There are many of them, but listen. You see it, you say, must write that dress for me. Victor, I am not the worst woman in this world. That Damask, I must have it in my house. The question, that is it. The guy. It's what you see. The eye is the most powerful sense organ. And the devil is doing everything. Look, if the devil wants to control you, how will he control you? It's through the eyes. All he does is to wave it. It's the image. What you see. You see it. Your whole nature is designed to get what you have seen. So, what the devil does is to control you by the things you see. And the Bible calls it the carnal mind. So, the devil, what he does is to change the color of the Mercedes. This year, now 2014, a new color is coming out. If the leg was like this, the leg would be like this. This, they say, I was right. The old one is not good again because look at the new phone now. The new one now, you do like this, you start calling. You shake your face, you start calling. That's the one I want. If Victor doesn't buy for me, he doesn't love me. Look at Henry now. He has bought it for Amarachi. Amarachi, even look at this Amarachi. Even Amarachi has this kind of phone. Me. Look at me, I'm very beautiful, more than Amarachi. I don't have it. That's what, you know what we are doing? All the devil needs to do is to manipulate the environment. So, this is a soul that is ruled by the earth, by the earth. And remember, the devil is the god of this world. Okay, no, we shall make this world holy. When I become the chief, I will sanctify this tool. Nobody will make anything. In fact, I will station one prayer squad inside my room. They will be praying, and they will make this tool to be holy. No problem. If we see you in 1 year's time, you know you are very lucky. So, we are still discussing the nature. So you have the eyes, then you have the ears. Sorry, I need to put this off. So here you have the ears. Then you have another one, the taste. You have another one, the smell. You have another one, the smell. So you have 1, 2, 3. And then you have the last one, the taste. Okay, it's there. This is smell. Touch, yes, touch. So, there are 5 realms, and there are 5 entrances, 5 gates, through which the soul knows the environment. But you see, there is something else my soul knows, has the ability to know God. And it's called God consciousness. Okay, the Bible says in Hebrews 10, it says, If by the offerings that the priest had to make, that we with every year they made the same offering, that there was still a consciousness of sin. That means those offerings could not address the consciousness. So that thing has to do with this. Now the mind of man has four natures. The first one is knowledge. The second one is understanding or intellect. The third one is the conscience. And the last one is wisdom. So these are the four realms of the mind. Alright? Now, if you look at Hebrews 8:10, the Bible says that God said he will take away the old covenant. Because that covenant had a problem. He could not make those who were making those offerings perfect as regarding the conscience. Amen. So he says, I will make a new covenant. And in this new one, what would I do? He said, I will take my law and I will do what? I will put it in the inward parts. And I will write it upon their minds. Amen. So the new covenant is coming at a higher level. So God is going right into the man, not just talking about the mind. He's going right to the center of the man. And he says, I will put the blood. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there can be what? No. So the plan of God was to purge the conscience from dead works. You wrote that, what has happened to them? Do you know why? There is a problem. There's a man that has a problem. The man that has the problem is who? Is the conscience. The mind that has a problem. And he says, I must put where did Mary get the seed? Well, Mary got the seed naturally. It was in her womb. Has there been any woman who received the seed of God in her womb? Did Mary have an example? Was there somebody for Mary to copy? So it was something. In fact, if she came to you and said, somebody else, I said, look, yesterday, something happened though. One angel came and said, I have the womb and I'm carrying the Son of God. It's okay, I'm coming. I'm coming. When you go out, you say, something's happening there. There's a mad woman. One girl there. She's looking for husband. Husband don't come. Now it's a new story. That she is pregnant with the seed of God. There was a stigma on her. It had never been done before. Do you know that we are like that woman? It has never been said.
Amen.
That in the mind of man, that the seed of God will be planted. As it was with Mary, that's how it is with us.
Amen.
It has never been done. Angels are desiring, say, what is this thing God is doing? Don't you understand? Everybody is looking and saying, look, this is something. How can God come and form a seed within the vine? Hallelujah. But the principle is that as long as the Lord remaineth, seed time and harvest will not cease. Amen.
Amen.
So, the seed has been planted in the spirit. That's why I say it's not just enough to say you have oil in the lamp. This seed must affect the emotions, must affect the desire, must affect the will, must affect the mind. This seed must take over the whole realm. It must dominate, it must control, it must bring it and conform it to the image of the Son of God. Brethren, that is the apostolic vision. That is the vision that God has given to us. We must learn how to draw down this life of God. The life of God must not just remain in our spirit, it must. It must give light to the inward parts of the belly. Now, this soul is a place of darkness. It's dark, it's a dark region. The soul is a dark region. The Bible says that the heart of man is what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Above all things. Amen. It's dark. So it requires a light. He says that he is the true light. That does what? That lightens every soul. When you say man, you don't make it fast. That darkness every emotion, every desire that comes into the world. Now let's bring it down practically. The emotion is like a lion, is it not so? That's why God will allow somebody to say bad thing about you.
Amen.
It's a test. When somebody hurts you, start crying. The problem is not the person that hurts you, it is how and why. And the way you respond to that hurt that is more important than the hurt. I say, this brother, you say, you now say, we should go around hurting people. I didn't say that though. But I'm telling you, the way you handle the hurt is more important than the person that hurt you. You have husband. That's why God gave you husband now. Every day you will bat you. Oh yeah, we'll see. Or you have wife. Every day we'll put salt in this room. This girl, I don't know. Since I married this girl, every day talk. Leave the girl alone, no? The problem is in the soul. Leave the girl alone. There is a lion within the soul. My problem is not my brother. My problem is myself. And I wrote it down in my book. I am self-destruct. Self-destruct. My greatest enemy is who? It's not just agree. It's good to agree here now. Just come out in the next 5 minutes. You get practical. One man, this is a fine people. Somebody will come and laugh with you. The man is on the ground. Oh, God, I'm sorry now. He's on the ground. See, that's what you need. This is over there. You taxi drivers. You will not. You will. Calm down now. The man is saying sorry. Carry your car and go away. He said, no, you must repent. I will teach you a lesson today, but what are you teaching the lesson? The man has told you sorry. Let the man go. Hallelujah. The problem in the fellowship is that we do not realize the problem of the mind. The mind is like an ego. What does that mean? It can rise. It can rise or it can fall. Hallelujah. There are some things that make the mind to rise. Let me give you. Say, they that do what? Wait upon the Lord. What would they do? They shall do what? They shall mount up with wings as eagle. See, there is a place where there is trouble. Oh? There is a realm where every day there is trouble. If you dwell at that place, you will be hurt. You will carry offense. Offense number one, AGK didn't talk with me. Put it. Offense number three, Henry didn't greet me tomorrow. You put it number three. Your pocket is filled with offense. Hallelujah. Do you know why? You are dwelling at the wrong place. Maybe the way I'm talking now may even offend you. The fact that this shirt, why is it even wearing that shirt? You're not so sure. You want to show us that you saw us. I'm telling you, somebody here may have a problem with my shirt. So why is he even preaching? Why can't he even open the Bible and tell us what's in the Bible? He's going around preaching like so and so. It's a problem. Then you can decide. You will not dwell at that level. You can rise. You can rise and remain there. Amen. He didn't say that there will not be problems. He said that with the temptation, what would you do? You will make a way of escape. Let me give you a tip. When there is a problem between you and another person, don't pray the prayer, God change him. No, don't do that. That's a special prayer. Do you know the prayer? God, change me. Not help you. God, change me. That problem will last for 5 minutes and it's over. It will not pass 5 minutes. Because when you pray that prayer, you will see automatically God will deal with the problem. But when you are waiting for God to solve, you say, God, hey, tell this woman, you told me you would change, you solve this problem. I've been watching her, the way she's going. I don't think there will be a problem. You are watching the wrong thing. Who is it that needs change? I am the one. Amen. And how do I get change? So go to the Lord and wait and get a word. It's the word of God that will take you up. The word of God is like a wing. That's what gives wings to the soul. The word of God. It says, it's like my word that I send out. It will not come back void. It will bring somebody. Amen. So, you must look for a word. Now, if you dwell in the place where you are every day, you are capturing what people have. He says so and so. They come to you and say, have you heard what he said? Yeah, is that what he said? You get it by a book. You go again and say, yeah, this is what he said. You can even see a vision where you see the brother talking. Hey, I've seen it. And it's the devil, it's a tail-bearing spirit. You hear the voice, you record it. I heard him when he said it. The Lord gave me a revelation of what? Tail-bearing. Amen. But you can come to the place where you say, I will not hear. Amen. Because you see, you have to determine what you will hear and what you will not. Amen. And when you come to that point, you see that your emotions begin to rise. Your mind begins to rise. And if your mind begins to rise, you find out that you begin to feed on the word of God. Amen. They that dwell in the presence of the Lord will hear what God is saying. Amen. I tell you, there is a realm where the voice of God is stored. It's called heaven radio. Now, they're talking about cloud computing. Don't you know? You know it now. Cloud computing. Huh? That's the greatest thing among young people now. Cloud computing. You store things in the cloud. Well, I tell you, there is an original cloud. Amen. Daniel heard from that cloud. Don't you understand? They told him, what is the dream? Then you can tell us the interpretation. He said, we don't want to know the interpretation. Just tell us the dream, then we know. How did he know? He went to the cloud. He went to the place where the words are stored. And he opened and he began to hear. Amen. I do know that you can walk at that level. Every day you hear the voice of God. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Every day, as you are hearing my voice, you hear the voice of the Lord. But the thing is that our ears are not tuned to hear. Our eyes are not fixed on the Lord. So we are fixed on the wrong things and it's tuned to hear the wrong things. Praise God. So you have these different senses that are in the body, and you as an individual, you have to determine how are you going to get life, Are you going to get life by the things you see, by the things you relate with in the natural world? Now, the mind has the ability to understand its environment. The head of the body is the brain. Is it not so? The body has a head, and the head of the body is this brain. The brain is ruled by the mind. How many people have seen their mind? But do you have a mind, brother? Yeah, you have not seen the mind. Yeah. A whole fully grown up man like you, you haven't seen the mind. Amen.
Amen.
That's a different realm. So the mind is a reality. But the mind rules over the body. Okay? Yes, there is a part of the mind that is also in the spirit. So there are two realms of the mind. And that is why the mind of man is the most glorious creation of God. And the devil wants it. The devil says, I must sit over Zion. When God talks of Zion, he's speaking about the mind. Don't you understand? Everything in this city called the world was created by the mind. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you understand? Yes. You sit down at land. Everything happening today, somebody thought of it, said there shall be a meeting on so and so day. And we have brought it. And that's why you are here, because of the mind. The devil needs you to function. And let me give you practical number two. You can never commit anything without the permission of your mind. If you want to overcome, control your mind. The Bible says, he that has no control over his own mind or his own spirit is like what? A city that is broken down without walls. So he that had rule over his own spirit is bigger than the mighty. Amen. How many of us have a dominion over our mind? There is something called self-control. It is a fruit of the spirit. Don't you understand? And that is the fruit of the bride of Christ. So brethren, we need to switch over. Because we are being inundated with rubbish. Prosperity this, prosperity that. We are losing the character, the nature, the oil, the thing that will mark us out as the bride of Christ. Amen. And it takes a choice. It takes a decision. And it is a decision and a choice nobody can make but you. Amen. You must choose to walk in a particular way. You must choose to present your soul unto the Lord. It's a choice you have to make. And that is the beginning of the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, the temple is different. The priest is different. The offering is different. And the covenant is different. These are the four elements of the apostolic vision. Therefore, the temple. In the old, it was a natural temple. That's what we are drawing. All the things we are drawing here was a natural thing. So the question is, if this is the shadow, what is the reality? Is the reality ministry? Is it house fellowship? Is it church? Paul said, know ye not. And Jesus started first, John chapter 2. He says, see this one, destroy it. 3 days. I was speaking of the temple of his God. God is eternal. He must live in an eternal temple. And the only eternal temple I know is his soul. Don't you understand? God is a spirit, and he will only dwell in a spiritual house, which house your soul is. Therefore, it says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose the essence, the reality of your soul? Amen. Now, and the devil plays around our minds, our emotions. We throw it around carelessly. You know? The devil wants to wound the emotions, wound the desires. We hurt one another. You see, we are destroying the house of God. Amen. Because you are destroying the sensitivities. We no longer receive. It's called the locust spirit. The locust comes for the green, the tender things. And when you destroy the tender things, there cannot be a harvest. When the tender things are destroyed, you cannot come into the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of the tender things, of harvest, of growth. Amen. And when you are dealing with strife and contention, one of the things that goes first is tenderness. Amen. Tenderness. Your feelings for a brother is dead. That brother, I don't want to see him again. That sister, she's not my sister again. Let her be doing her own. No, she's not a Christian. You have only judged her and placed her and condemned her. Amen. I remember those that will see a brother and say, that brother is not my brother. No. After 10 years, God knocks. In fact, you go and say, God, that's you see your brother. I thought 10 years ago you said it was not your brother. Now he's not your brother. Amen. Don't you understand? It's called the locust spirit. It's the eighth plague. You find it in Egypt. And it is a spirit that brings darkness. He said that when he opened the fifth seal, that there was what? The bottomless pit was opened, and there were locusts. And that they darkened the sun. Don't you understand? Darkness. So you are listening, you can't hear the voice of God. God is speaking. The heaven is brass. Don't you understand? You come to God and there is no tenderness. You cannot feel what God is feeling. It tells you that it's a spirit. But you know what the Bible says? That the years of the cankerworm, the years of the caterpillar, the years of the locust, I will restore them. Don't you understand? Brethren, say, shall the sword not be put back into the scabbard? Well, you bring the sword, put it back. Hallelujah. Put the sword back. And it is a decision you must make. Oh yes, the brother said deliberately. You know, Nigerians, we are a people of contention. Our language is contention. Just go out to that road and sit down and watch. Nobody will tell you that there's a problem with us. You talk to somebody, he's shouting at you. You say, please, where is the road that goes there? You shout, say, don't you see it there? It was like, why should he be asking me? Hey, I'm asking them, please, where is the road to Tabernacle of Grace? See it there, see it there. We went around this road 5 times looking for Tabernacle of Grace. Because there was nobody to quietly point out. I said, see that place, go there. Everybody is in a hurry, including myself. I'm in a hurry. Nobody has patience to listen to you. So we are all overtaken, and it's in the church. The brother is talking, hasn't finished. Hey, we have said it now. He has come. Did you hear what he said? What did he say? Hey, did you hear? Even the man complained, did not hear what the brother said. He didn't hear what he said because he has already concluded. He's already running. Yeah, because 2 years ago he said something like that. So when he came there, I knew that's where he was going. I started running. So, brethren, we need to return. There is a spirit that is not of God. And it's taking away life. It's taking away tenderness. And it's bringing midnight. Remember, it's going to midnight. And these are the things that God is saying, brethren, we need to overcome. Now, before I close, this soul that you're looking at has 7 functions. There are 7 things that the soul does every day. At the end of today, there are 7 group of things that you would have done. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it is what I call the natures of the soul, that are the cultures of the soul. When the same BC people have a way of doing it, it is the way the soul of all the people who live in the BC, the way they act. Don't you understand? Culture is the way of doing things, isn't it so? The way of life. Every soul has its way of doing things. And there are seven, actually, Revelation 13 said there are seven heads. You don't see what I'm saying? These are the seven heads. And on each of those heads said there are 10 crowns. 10 horns. And on top of those 10 horns are 10 crowns. He hasn't reached yet. The crown means that it is sealed. And there is a spirit that has been sealed to sit upon those natures. But in Christ, all those heads must be beheaded and brought under one head. And that is the authority and the government of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the first aspect of the soul is that the soul is a priest. The soul is a priest. If you are the temple, who is the priest in the temple? Yeah, we are all agreed that this is the temple, is it not? Who is the priest? Someone will tell me Jesus Christ. Leave Jesus Christ alone. No? He is waiting for us. Is it not so? He is waiting. Leave him. Amen. He is the high priest. I agree. But every man must bring an offering. Hallelujah. The soul must bring an offering every day. In fact, the activities of my soul are recognized as what? Offering. Worship and offering is not the song you sing. It is the song of the life I live. Everything I have done today is a song. The question is, who am I giving the life to? The soul has a life. What do you understand? It's rich. The Bible said that when an unclean spirit is departed from a man, why would an unclean spirit depart from a man? What is he looking there? Well, the answer is, I walk around dry places. And does he get life? What does he say? I will go back to my house. Amen. Because that's where I have. The soul is the eternal priest of God. It brings offering. But the question is, to which kind of offering does it bring? So it's either a priest of Baal, or it is a priest of God, according to the order of Melchizedek. And the priesthood of Melchizedek is for firstborn. You cannot be a priest according to the order unless you are a firstborn from the dead. I don't know if I'm pushing it too far. Okay. If for you to be a priest, you must be a firstborn. You know so? Eh? Okay, now, in Aaron, the Bible says everybody who was a child of Aaron was a priest. Jesus was not a child of, was he a priest? According to the order of Aaron, he was a commoner. And he dared not go near that temple. They would have stoned him. He only walked in the porch of Solomon. Read their Bible. He only walked in the porch. He never went near that sanctuary. Because his father was not from the tribe of Levi. Amen. So Hebrews 7 says that concerning which nothing was said pertaining to the priesthood. So his own priesthood was according to another one. Alright? And that priesthood is the priesthood of Mel. I say without father, without mother. Without, so it is a priesthood of the Spirit. You know, same say Christians come to the left. Then Mbalo Christians say, right, leave those things. Though. In Christ, there are all those things that have no. You say, I'm a Nigeria Christian, forget it. America Christian, forget it. Because the priesthood is when you overcome Mbise spirit and you overcome the Nigerian spirit, then your priesthood starts. So you don't even discuss traditions. Automatically it is through the window out. So you say, Abraham, you must come out from your father's house, mother's house, country, brother. That's why you see this drum. Look at it well. Don't be annoyed though. You see this drum? Something there, brother. Something there inside that drum. Yes. Guys, look at it. When you knock drum in my village, Jesus, it has traditional consequence. When you knock drum, in fact, there is a particular way of knocking it. All the old men wake up and start walking down the road. The women run away. That thing you're looking at there. So when you're knocking it inside the church, which spirit are you calling? Is it the spirit of God? Are you people annoyed with me? Don't be annoyed though. Look at that drum very well. Then even this one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This one, look at it very well too. Because you see, there's a difference between soulish worship and carnal worship. Soulish worship draws you up. And sometimes you don't even need noise. Your spirit hears the voice of God and begins to respond to it. Amen. Someone said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit praises the Lord. You understand? So there is an inspiration that comes. Of course, the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Is it not so? But there are different levels. You have the outer court. You have the holy place. You have the holiest of all. And there is a place where worship becomes prophetic. Yeah, somebody says, bring me a mystery. He began to pray. And the inspiration of God began to come. If all of us are dancing, walking in the church, where will the inspiration of God come? No, is it good? If all of us are dancing, going, hey, Jesus, that you be good. Leave it to us. There's no inspiration. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Brethren, we need to look at what we are doing. Amen. There are levels and there are realms. The Bible said that when I was a child, what did I do?
I.
But when I come to maturity, what do I do? Amen. And God is separating us, brethren. We have gone very, very far. And in going far, we have learned so many things. So when, as we are coming to maturity, we begin to say, look, this one does not belong here. This one belongs here. We begin to put things in order. Even we need to go to our houses and check the decorations in our houses. Don't you understand? More importantly, the decoration in our mind. That's the real house of God. Idolatry starts in the mind. Amen. So not just the natural house, the spiritual house must be cleansed. Amen. So that is priesthood. So the soul can be a priest of God. Or a traditional priest. Amen. Bringing an offering. Bible says, in fact, Peter said, we bring spiritual sacrifices. He says, present your body as a what? A whole living and a holy sacrifice. Acceptable to God. Amen. In fact, there's another one called peace offering. I don't know if I have time to, even that one alone. There are five types of offering. The first one is sin offering. Eh? I have sinned. Father, forgive me. It's good. But that is a very low offering. Another one is, this sister, as I'm talking now, I don't like the way she's looking at me. After this, I say, who is that girl? If I don't want to see her next time when I'm preaching, let her go to the back. What did she do to me? Offense has come in. It's called trespass offering. Relationship. And you know, in fellowship, we spend all the time on trespass offering. Eh? Making a quarrel. The reason is that we are carnal. Our thinking, our mind, our emotion are on the floor. When we rise, you won't even notice. You won't even notice what she said and what she didn't say. What the husband said, they didn't say, because you're on a higher dimension. And God is saying, awake. Awake. Shake yourself from the dust and put on thy beautiful garments. Amen. So that is the second offering, the trespass offering. That is horizontal. The first one is vertical. Alright? Now, the third offering is called the burnt offering, where all everything about the animal is offered and burnt. And when you give it, you have given it. You can't take it back. And it is given, it burns all through the night, whether it is good. So that means your commitment to God is not only when you have a car, you come to fellowship. When you don't come, when you don't have a car, you'll be the first. Now, when brothers get married, they come to church by 1 o'clock. Is that true? They have a car. You see them, they are the last to come. Say, oh no, my wife, see, she woke up this morning, her waist was paining her. Yeah. So I have to, you see, I have to take care of her. In fact, you say, brethren, pray for me, I'm not feeling well at the church. There's a meeting going on, you're in your house. Brethren should pray for you, so that you can get well. Meanwhile, before you got married, you're the first person in church. That means the consecration has... When a man and woman join together, the consecration should be more. Amen. When God blesses you, your consecration should be more. But this one, if they promote the man, go and fast and pray, because you will see it again. You say, no, brother, I say, no, I had a meeting somewhere, I say, no, the Lord will take care of it. And as he's doing it, he's throwing his keys, the Lord will do take care of it. There's problem, but because his consecration is out. Amen. Now, the fourth one is called the peace offering. The peace offering is where you offer the fat, the liver, and the kidney. The liver and the kidney, they speak of the emotions and the desire. They speak of the inward part. So, it's an offering you bring to God, not because you have sinned or somebody has done something against you. It's a thanksgiving offering. You are bringing your heart to God. Yes, you are giving. So the things you are doing, you're not doing it because you come and you are the only one sweeping this floor. Every day, you are the only person sweeping floor in the church. They ask you, are you the only one? Say, praise the Lord. She's smiling. It's a peace offering. She's doing it with all her heart. Somebody is busy counting roll. You understand? She's giving everything to God. She doesn't even notice whether there are other people helping her or not. It is an offering that comes from deep from within. Amen. That is the peace offering. The fifth one is called the meal offering or the meat offering, and it's for fellowship. Where you take the wheat, you grind it to powder, and you add oil to it. You see, it's what brings the body, it's the partaking. Bible says that we are one bread. When we partake, that means we give life one to another. As we are talking now, you give life to ourselves. We need each other. I didn't hear any amen. Yeah. Whether you like it or not, you need me. And I need you. If you cut me off, when our robbers catch you on the road to Abba, nobody will tell you that you did me, because you will find my address, bro, pray for me, or they have taken my car. They have cut my head off. You need the bread then. And we need one another. Amen. And that means we have to be patient with one another. You know, people stand at different points in the body. There are different points of strength and weakness. That is, if everybody were the eye, there's no way you can see what I'm seeing. You understand? So as the church grows, God brings maturity. There are different ministries that are not there that will begin to, you know. And as the church grows, it says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. There's a difference between separation and division. Division is not of God. Amen. But there's a place of separation, a setting apart for ministry. And that is the area where we have not overcome. And we that are mature, we must come to that place where we are matured enough to release unto ministry. So if God is giving me something, I need to recognize the body and submit to the body. And the body needs to also recognize the gifting that are there. So and this is an area where the church has failed. But brethren, God requires of us maturity. Amen. To be able to address some of these issues. So these are different types of offerings that we are required to bring before God. I think I should stop. It's going to 5 o'clock. Okay, let me list. Okay, functions. Okay, I'm going in. The second one is that the soul is a bride. Bride, yes. The third one is that the soul has been called to a place of dominion or servile work. It's either the soul is in a place of dominion as a son of God, or is involved in servile work, is in prison, is serving sin and bondage. Number four, the soul is a habitation of spirits. Either the spirit of God, or it says Babylon has become a habitation of devils. So when the God told them come out of Babylon, he's not saying change address of church from Tabernacle of Grace, you change to Grace Tabernacle, or the other way. That's not what God is saying. God is saying come out of good. So those spirits must come out of us. Babylon is a spirit, it must come out of us. Amen. It's easy to change church and harder to get the spirit out of us. Amen. But we must overcome. We must be a habitation of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, number five is the energy. Every soul needs life. So it's either we're receiving life from darkness. Darkness is energy. Bible says, if the light that is in you be darkness. Agreed. So darkness has power. Bitterness has power. Offense has power. Unforgiveness has power. Hatred has power. Amen. It can destroy. Amen. And it tears down, breaks down relationships. But the other one builds. Amen. The sixth one is ministry. Amen. There's a ministry that the soul brings. The soul has the ability to create. The devil cannot create anything. The devil needs my mind to create, to do what he wants to do. Without my mind, the devil cannot. It's crippled. Alright, so my mind can either be a life-giving spirit or be an agent of darkness, of destruction. And then finally, fellowship. The soul is either Zion or Babylon. That would say we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Or alternatively, the soul is like that dead place. Say, where are you gathering them? He says, where the carcass is. That's where all the vulture. The vulture is an unclean bird. It feeds on dead things. It feeds on things that do not have the life of God. So what appetite? Do you have appetite for the things of God? Or you have appetite for dead things? Movies. Nollywood. Ikenga, part 1. 3 hours. Ikenga, part 2. 3 hours. Ikenga, part 3. 3 hours. 9 hours straight down the road. After 5 minutes, you are tired of the Bible. Say, no. Yes, your mind cannot, you cannot stay in this fellowship for 1 hour, you are tired. It shows that men love darkness rather than light. So, these are the five, seven natures of the soul. And they are on two sides. And you are the one that will determine the way your soul will go. Are you going to be a priest of God? Or a priest of Baal? Are you going to be a bride of Christ or a foolish virgin? Are you going to be a son of God? Say, we are joint heads. Okay? So when you look at this ark, you see a crown of gold. That is the mind. The mind of God is destined to rule over the whole universe. I don't know if you understand. The universe is so big, yet the mind of God is, mind of man is destined to rule. And the Bible says we must have the mind of Christ to be able to come to that place. So it's either our mind is in that place of dominion, or our mind is captured like the head of Saul. Saul's head was captured and taken to the guard room of Ashtaroth, where it is serving sexuality. Sexuality is in the mind. Sexuality is in the mind. It doesn't matter whether you are married or you are not married, forget it. Sexuality is in the
mind.
And it's a spirit.
And you must dislodge it.
And if it is not dislodged, the mind cannot come to the place of dominion. Amen. And then the other one, habitation. Is it a habitation of God or a habitation of unclean spirits? Where do we feed? Do we feed our senses? Have they been overpowered by darkness? You understand? We only feed on trash. That means the gates of hell have overcome us. But it says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. That means our senses have been liberated. So our mind were receiving things from receiving life from the life of God. Of course, the ministry. What are we part of? The ministry of life or the ministry of commitment? The body is not perfect. And you that is not perfect, you cannot expect a perfect body. Huh? The body, the brethren are not perfect. And you cannot insist that the brethren should deal with you with perfection. Amen. You are not perfect. That's why the body is not perfect. So you must, Bible says, you must give allowance for one another. Amen. As you are, you treat the others. Do unto others what you expect them to do to you. So you have weakness. Know also that these brethren you see here, they all have weaknesses. Particularly if they are in leadership. Say, I don't mind them. The elders. Leave the elders alone. Amen. They have infirmities. Don't you have infirmities, brother? Eh? Many. Eh? So we need to pray for one another. Amen. Knowing that we are beset by many, many infirmities. Finally, we are called to Zion. Say, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. In this room, there are so many saints that you don't see. Amen. They have come for nourishment. So when Zion gathers, everyone is there. So don't belittle the house of God. I feel that it's not this brother, I know him. That sister, I know him. Amen. Because in our gathering are many saints. Amen. And the blood of sprinkling. And Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And the spirit of just made perfect. Amen. That is what we are experiencing. And I'm telling you, the days are coming when that fellowship is going to be more and more integrated. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't look down on the assembling of the people of God. But we say, do not forsake the assembling of the people of God. And most importantly, even when we leave this room, we are still assembled. Amen. Because our assembling is in the spirit. So we give life, even when we have left this room, we continue to minister to one another and give life. Because it says that every joint supplies. When you leave here, you say, no, okay, I'm not my joint. When I come to fellowship, so you are a joint. Whether you are in fellowship or not, we are always in fellowship. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, so I think we will stop at this point. So we are called to be a wise virgin. A virgin that is making herself ready by receiving oil, the life of God. Emotions are changing, the desire is changing. The will is changing. The mind is changing. And we are rising. Amen. We are learning how to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We know we are priests. We are not just anybody. Like, the things I do are an offering. Therefore, I must bring an acceptable offering unto God. At the end of the day, I must have pleased God. Amen. I'm not doing it to please my brother or the elders or who and who. Let me not go to their fellowship. I'm not going to their fellowship. I stand as the priest of the Most High God. And I'm bringing an offering to God. So even other person will do it, I will not fail. I will keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.